Hey there, welcome to the High Five Podcast. Each episode, we count down our top five favorites in a different category, from movies and music to the totally random. Get ready to laugh and maybe even yell at our picks. Let's get into this week's High Five.
So Katie had some feedback for us, and she thinks you need to speak more on the podcast. And okay. So to do that, she wants you to do some more of the hosting instead of okay. Me. Yeah, so maybe you do the intro, like the welcome, the,
yep.
You know, and then when it's your topic, which is this my topic or your topic?
This is yours.
Okay, so when it's your topic, you're going to be hosting the show, essentially.
I can handle it.
Yeah. And, yeah. So I
so just because she doesn't want to hear your voice as much anymore, is that...
Well, I think just naturally, you...
I know. I'm just teasing.
You take the back seat more naturally, and it's not a good thing or a sure. bad thing. It's just you're a little bit more quiet. Just in
yep.
nature. So to promote
true that.
So to promote you talking more, she wants you to host more. So and I thought that's a great idea. I never wanna ask you to do anything other than show up because this was my idea. But and
you can ask me to do things.
Yeah. But no. I'm always always happy to share responsibilities. I do not take pride in any of the things. Happy to let you do stuff. And if you ever, and just in general, like if you ever want to do stuff, if you ever want to edit episodes or if you want to do more artwork or whatever, I'm totally happy letting you do stuff. So if you want to dip your toe into doing editing, I know you're busy though. So I never.
You're well, and you. I think. I mean, this. You get all the stuff. It's just easier. You know what you've done it. I mean, you kind of have a flow and a feel and.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would take me a lot longer to edit it at this point than it would for you. You know.
Yep. So. Exactly. So. Yeah. I definitely. So that's kind of why I am hesitant to even ask, because to get someone caught up to speed on how it's done, and not the way I do it is the right way or the wrong way, but it's just just getting
caught. But you got a flow and you know how to do
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yep. I have the files in the right spot. I drag, drop, bleep, bloop, blop, and I can normally get an episode out in, you know, about 15-20 minutes if I'm focusing on it.
Yeah.
Nope.
It's all good. Yeah. Hopefully I have some allergies, so if I have some sniffles or cough or sneeze, I'm just letting you know. My bad. I'm trying not to, but it's that time of year. So.
Okay. Well, if you're ready,
yeah,
I
man.
Am ready.
And okay.
If you want to kick it off, you go ahead.
I thought you were going to throw in the Detroit basketball right there.
What's that? This?
It's Mace, right? Isn't that's his name, right? Mace?
No, Mason? It's Mason.
Mason.
Yep.
Yeah, Mason, not Mace. Mason. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All right. You want to go ahead?
Sure. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the High Five Podcast. For those of you who have never listened before, we don't know why you haven't, but welcome. I'm your host, Caleb, and this is Jay alongside me. Each week, we create lists of our top five of whatever particular thing it is that we have chosen. And this week, it was Jay's choice. And Jay, I believe you've chosen the top five Pistons of all time.
That's right.
I know, unfortunately, they were knocked out of the playoffs,
sad.
Which is a bummer.
We probably would have more listeners if
right?
they had won the game 7.
Yeah, I know, right? When was that game?
Sunday, this past Sunday.
Okay.
It was a late game, too.
Yeah. Yeah, when they were down by, 20-something with, 5 minutes left in the third, I'm like, yep, I'm going to bed.
Yeah, you texted me. You texted me at some point. I don't know if it was the second quarter or the third quarter, but they were decidedly down. And you, I think your words were just, this is hard to watch or something
it
like
is.
That.
It was the one of the worst games I've watched them play in quite a while. So,
which come to find out the other day, Cade Cunningham has a cracked rib. And so.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. It was related to the collapsed lung injury.
Okay.
And I don't know why, you know, maybe they didn't know or they just kept that part of it under wraps. But
apparently
he was really struggling with it in the last couple games. So,
yeah, I'm sure that's not something you want to broadcast because I'm sure somebody's going to elbow him or try to, you know, bug
and
him
he,
with it.
And he had been wearing one of those flak jackets, you know, like that some NFL quarterbacks wear to protect it as much as he could. And so I'm sure that even hurt his mobility. And his ability to drive into the lane and try to, you know, get contact like he does.
Yeah.
That took away a pretty big portion of his game. And just the fact that he played the way he did was just amazing. But anyway, we are sad.
Yeah. So I'm guessing that's kind of why you chose this topic. Is that right? Or is there another reason why you chose the topic? Or were you just trying to think of...
I'd say, you know, the Pistons are in our mind right now. We love the Pistons. You and I both grew up watching the Pistons. And I thought, you know, obviously if they had won the game seven, it'd be really fun to be talking about them right now going in. You know, the Cavs just played game one of their series against the Knicks. And, that could have been us right now. And so it'd be really fun to be talking about the Pistons. And, you know, there's enough other people talking about, you know, analysis of the games and what's coming up. And, you know, people have better insights than we do on that. But we're Pistons fans, too, and we like to talk Pistons. And so I thought it'd be fun to talk about them. And then on the flip side of things, I knew that if they had lost, this would be kind of almost a cathartic or even, you know, therapeutic way to put closure on the season as we, you know, get into baseball season and other things going on, summer travel and family stuff. So
all the craziness.
So those are the reasons why I thought it'd be fun.
Nice. Okay. All right. Any other thoughts or you want to roll into your number five?
No, I don't. Yeah, I think we've kind of talked about it enough. You know, we should jump right into it. Yeah, let's go for it.
Okay. It's your topic, so I need you to go first. Basketball!
I'm going to do that in between each one this time instead of our typical filler.
It's a nice transition, right?
Yeah. So, all right. So my number five is number two. Cade Cunningham just made the top five. I think there are obviously more successful Pistons. There are other Pistons that have played more seasons, more like I said, more successful, more championships. Obviously more, you know, statistically, you know, founded, but you just have to look at Cade Cunningham's track record up to this point. And first of all, he's 24 years old and is only three or four seasons into this thing. And he just played in his second playoffs. They just won their first playoff series against the Magic, coming back from 3-1 in a game seven. And just the things he's done in the last two seasons has, you know, they've gradually improved. And then also just the things that he's been through with this core of players. You know, we're talking, you know, Cade Cunningham obviously is the core of it, but you know, you got people like Isaiah Stewart, you got people that, you know, like Jalen Duren, who was selected in the draft right after him, and you got, you know, guys that have kind of have come along more recently. And so just the things that this core group of guys have been through in the last few years, going from the worst record in Pistons franchise history and then just gradually improving every year. It's just been so impressive. I went from, you know, Cade Cunningham as, you know, the next Grant Hill to he's clearly surpassed Grant Hill as far as his Pistons career. He hits bigger shots than Grant Hill ever did in the pros. He takes the team on his back. He leads by example. He's, you know, he's the consummate professional. Never gets too high, never gets too low. He's just an awesome guy. And I'm proud to have him as the core of the team right now. And so barely makes the top five. I think he's obviously got room to go up the list from here. Obviously he could go down from here as well. You know, if he gets hurt like Grant Hill did and can't stay on the court, that's going to affect things. But the trajectory of his career and where he's gotten so far puts him solidly as number five for me. So,
And he hasn't been a Piston for that long. Yeah. You know, I mean, I'm sure other people on your list have been a Piston for a lot longer. He's still got lots of time to prove. And like you said, move up on the list for sure.
Yep. So that's my number five. Detroit basketball. It's not going to get old.
Nope. All right. So my number five is the tallest Piston on my list. He is 6'11". Now, to be fair, I grew up a huge basketball fan. Watched it all the time, but I grew up in the early 90s and late 90s and mid 90s, and I was a Michael Jordan fan. So I watched the Bulls more than I watched the Pistons until I got into high school. And then in the early 2000s, I became a pretty diehard Pistons fan. So that will be reflected in my ranking of said Pistons.
Yep.
So my number five, like I said, 6'11", 230 pounds, born September 17th, 1974. And it is Rasheed Wallace.
Nice.
I remember when he was traded to the Pistons.
Hold on, I got something for that one.
You got it? All right, I'm ready. Rasheed! There it is. Yep. Yeah, so Rasheed Wallace was traded midway through the year in 2004 to the Detroit Pistons from technically the Atlantic Hawks, but really it was the Portland Trail Blazers. And he was kind of the linchpin, the reason that they ended up winning the championship in 2004. I believe that that was the catalyst.
I mean, you can definitely make that case because of where they were before that, the postseason before getting him, and he was definitely a big difference.
He was a huge difference, and I always loved the way he played. I always loved his attitude. I always loved when he got called for fouls that he didn't like, and if they missed the free throw, you could hear him yell, "Ball don't lie," which is one of my favorite catchphrases. But Rasheed Wallace was one of my favorite players to watch. He was so much fun, just so much energy, just kind of this did the hard work, but also was an incredible athlete, an incredible shooter. So he wasn't a Piston for terribly long, from 04 to 09. But then I didn't realize he was an assistant. Did you know he was a coach for the Pistons for a little bit? I didn't know that. For a season, I should say.
Huh.
Anyways, so Rasheed Wallace, just, you know, power forward, center, kind of does the dirty work, but also could hit threes and could dribble and could do everything a big man should be able to do. And definitely was one of my favorite Pistons for sure. So that's why he's number five.
Nice. Detroit
basketball. Yep.
All right. My number four is a player who played for the Pistons for six seasons. He won one championship. He is from the University of Colorado. He was 2004 Finals MVP. Nicknamed Mr. Big Shot.
Mr. Big Shot.
Chauncey Billups. Yeah, he was just had some clutch performances in the years 2003, 2004, 2000, even 2005 when they went to Game 7 against the Spurs and lost.
Yeah.
He was, in my mind, the, you know, one of, he was part of that core five starters, if you include Tayshaun Prince, of that 2003-2004 championship that they won, beating the Lakers. And he was probably the scorer of that team. Like, if you had to have, I mean, there's a reason why he's called Mr. Big Shot. He's the guy you want to have that taking that big shot at the end of that game, in that season. So, just loved him. He's one of those players that he was drafted highly, and then he had a bad couple seasons. I think he was originally drafted by the Celtics or something like that.
Yep, he was. Yep.
And then I think he went to Denver from there. And then to the Pistons. I think there was at least a couple stops. And he was one of those players that came in with that nucleus of Pistons in 2002, 2003, that those years. And he was one of those players that had a chip on his shoulder. He was drafted high, didn't come to fruition, his potential, so to speak, and he came to the Pistons with something to prove, and boy did he do it. So love him. Obviously, more recently he was coaching the Portland Trailblazers, and he's caught up in this gambling FBI scandal that's going on, and so it's sad to see that happening, but obviously there's a lot we don't know about that stuff, and you know, I'm just talking about the playing career, and when he was a Detroit Piston, he was definitely one of the greatest for me, so he's my number four.
Nice. Phillips.
Yep. Let me see if I got one for that. Here it is.
Chauncey Phillips for three.
Yep. Great player.
Yep.
So much fun to watch. Yep.
Wow. That audio just kept going there. So anyway, that's my number four.
Detroit basketball.
Okay.
All right. So my number four is from originally from Compton, California. Played for Kentucky. Might be one of the lankiest guys to ever play basketball in the history of basketball, and that is Tayshaun Prince. Mm. Tayshaun Prince was drafted by the Pistons in 2002. He kind of started the team for the 04. He was there kind of around the same time Chauncey Phillips came in, but obviously was a rookie and was younger. So 2002, both Chauncey Phillips and Tayshaun Prince joined the Pistons, and was just this. I don't even know how to describe his game. Like he was an incredible defensive player, just long and lanky, but could
his
score.
His wingspan was what, like 7'2" or something like that. Wingspan.
It was
over 7 feet.
Yeah, it was crazy long. I don't remember the exact dimensions, but yeah, I mean, just this lanky long, but he was so good, and like probably had the single greatest defensive play in their 04 championship run when he somehow magically blocked Reggie Miller's breakaway, and just like that's what sealed it for them to make it to the finals. It's one of the most iconic defensive plays I think you will see in the NBA. He was just so much fun to watch. I had his autograph. I don't have it anymore, unfortunately. I had him sign a Tayshaun Prince jersey, but I don't have it anymore. So I don't really meet him. I just come to quick sign a jersey. But yeah, always seemed like a really nice kid, nice guy. Didn't play as long as he probably should have. I think he retired in 2016, but was a Piston for 11 years.
Didn't he come back to the Pistons too?
He did. He did, and then he went back to the Timberwolves for like a season or half of a season. I thought he was going to retire with the Pistons, but that didn't quite happen. So yeah, because he was, which I didn't remember him going to so many teams. He played for Memphis, Boston, went back to Pistons, and then the Timberwolves is where he actually retired from. But I didn't remember him moving that many times, but. He was, like I said, that 04 team was the team that I watched religiously. I mean, from 2002 to basically when that team kind of fell apart in 08, I would watch that, watch every game that I was possible. And he was always one of my favorites. Just seemed like a nice, humble, hardworking, lanky guy. Yeah. So that's why he's number four.
Yep. Okay.
This is Tayshaun Prince of the Detroit Pistons. It's time to get back to work, Detroit.
I always forget his voice.
So that was your number
four?
Yeah.
Yep.
Detroit basketball!
All right. My number three would be ranked higher for me, but he was... He represents the earliest Pistons memories I have in that. Okay. And so he's part of the Bad Boys team. He played 13 seasons for the Pistons. He was a point guard from Indiana University, who won two championships in 89 and 90 with the Pistons, and that is Isaiah Thomas. Nicknamed Zeke, he was controversially excluded from the 92 Dream Team, despite being one of the era's elite guards. Michael Jordan reportedly refused to play with him, and he played through severely sprained ankle in the deciding game of the 1988 Finals and still poured in 43 points. This just iconic, the core scorer and the point guard of that Pistons dynasty, you could call, of that era. You know, they won the back-to-back championships, and I actually I'm sure I have it somewhere. I have a picture of him waving at me a Pistons game. This was after he retired, and he was in a box, and they showed him up on the big screen like they do. And I was like, oh, he's got to be here somewhere. And it turned out he was in the suite right behind us. And so I went over by the suite and took a picture and said, "Hey, Isaiah," and he waved at me, and that was my claim to fame for meeting Isaiah Thomas. But he's number 11, he was just synonymous with the Bad Boys. Like he personified that team. For that reason, he's my number three.
Nice.
Okay. Detroit basketball!
All right, so my number three is played alongside Isaiah Thomas, arguably who I consider the point guard. I was considered Isaiah Thomas Isaiah Thomas the shooting guard. I was considered this guy the point guard because. He was known for his more of passing and assisting and that kind of stuff than was scoring, where Isaiah was known for scoring. And this is pretty obvious who it is. It is Joe Dumars. Joe Dumars, the way he played basketball, he was only a Piston, didn't play for any other teams, drafted by the Pistons, retired as a Piston. That's pretty rare, and that's pretty incredible. He won three NBA championships with the Detroit Pistons, two as the player, one as the executive for the Pistons. He's unfortunately the reason we drafted Darko Milicic. I won't hold that against him. But he did assemble from 2002 to, I think he left in 2006 or something like that. He assembled that team. He assembled that team that won a title. So, he did it both on and off the court, and just always, he always just seemed like a cool guy, just chill, down to earth. I know there's, you know, some rumors now or stuff going on, but like he always just seemed like a cool guy to me.
Yeah.
You know, Basketball Hall of Fame in 06. And yeah, I always liked Joe Dumars. He was the Piston that I rooted for more than other ones. I probably didn't root for Isaiah as much because I knew Michael Jordan didn't like him, but but yeah, I always liked Joe Dumars, the way he played, the way he carried himself. You know, he didn't need to have his names written in the stars. He was fine just being, you know, kind of that player that you know, would just assist Isaiah, or, you know, not that he didn't score, but like, yeah, he just kind of was the backseat. He was the Robin to,
yep,
Isaiah's Batman. And I just, yeah, I always just liked him. I always thought he was a good player. And like I said, I think it's cool that he was only a Piston, 14 year career with the Detroit Pistons. That's pretty cool. So
that is pretty cool.
And then became an executive and put a team together and won a championship. I mean, that's, yeah, I just think, like, when I think of Pistons, that's who I think of is Joe D. So
nice.
Could have been even better if you would have just drafted Dwayne Wade or Chris Bosh or someone. Well,
he'd still be the president of basketball operations right now.
Probably. He'd probably have a couple more championships too, but probably. You know, whatever.
Yep.
We got Darko, true, who's now a kickboxer. So
yep. All right.
Detroit basketball.
Yep.
All right. What's up?
Mom is still at work.
Okay.
So.
All right. Give me about 15 minutes. I'll be done.
Okay.
All right.
Be quick.
Yep. All right. So that was your number 3?
Yep.
All right.
Number 2s.
My number 2 played 8 seasons for the Pistons from 2000 to 2012.
Okay.
He won 1 ring, obviously in 2004. He averaged 9.7 points per game, 9.6 rebounds per game, and he was the 4-time defensive player of the year. Mm-hmm. And that is Ben Wallace, number 3 out of Virginia Union, undrafted.
Yep.
Virginia Union's a Division II school. He became the most dominant defender of his era. He is the only undrafted player in NBA history to win 4 Defensive Player of the Year awards.
Crazy.
And his afro became one of the most iconic looks in sports. And, people literally feared going into the lane because
of,
you know, he would just come from anywhere to block your shot. And, you know, I think a lot of players model their game after him, like after how he kind of revolutionized the position of defensive center, where you just kind of, obviously you had shot blockers, but this was the first like super athletic shot blocker that I can remember. And he was only 6'9", kind of undersized, but could jump through the gym. For those reasons, he is my number 2. He is just synonymous with the you know, what would you call it? The going to work Pistons, you know, the era. He, you know, if you had to pick one person, you know, that afro, that defensive presence. He was again like Chauncey Billups. He was one of those guys who came in with a bit of a chip on his shoulder.
Worked his butt off.
That's right. Why is there not a Ben Wallace?
I don't know. The clock or the bell toll? There's no bell toll.
There's no Big Ben.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Huh. Well, we'll have to give him this one. Anyway, that's my number 2, Ben Wallace.
Our number 2s are the exact same person, because my number 2 is Big Ben Wallace.
Nice.
Because for the same reason, the way he played basketball, the way he just... Again, undersized. Like, he's 6'9", going up against Shaquille O'Neal in the championship in 04, who's 7'2", and got some probably by, 120 pounds, too. Yeah. And He just dominated, like, was fearless, was just in there and just could block shots, rebound. Just, I mean, he didn't have, you know, obviously he couldn't shoot a free throw if his life depended on it, but the dude could, I mean, a number of blocks and rebounds and everything that he did. I mean, just, I mean, he was the workhorse, like, just kind of what got everybody going. Every time he'd get a good block, the fans would go crazy. And yeah, like you said, just the athleticism. He was fast, he was agile, but you know, didn't back down from anybody, even if he was oversized. It didn't matter. And yeah, the afro, just everything about Ben Wallace. I loved watching him play. Again, you know, his highlights were almost always on the defensive side of the ball, but the things he could do on the defensive side of the ball, like you said, four-time defensive player of the year is pretty impressive for a dude who went to Division II school. So, yeah, and it's fun to see him. I saw they showed him Sunday night sitting in the crowd, looking gray with his long gray beard. still a Piston fan, and yeah, it's just he was always one of my favorites. I wish I still had his jersey. I had one of his. They had like a retro throwback jersey that I had of his, and I loved it. But I don't have it anymore. So.
Oh, that's why
Yeah,
they
Ben
make
Wallace.
eBay.
Yeah, I know, right?
Find one.
Yeah.
All right.
Detroit basketball.
Yep.
All right, so we're on to our number ones.
Yep.
My number one has already been mentioned by you. 14 seasons with the
Well, of
Pistons.
course it's not by you, right?
Yeah, that's right. 14 seasons with the Pistons, two rings, but technically three, like you said. Joe Dumars. Technically shooting guard. Isaiah Thomas normally brought the ball up, but yeah, you're right. Like, he definitely was very, it seemed like he always had more assists. Took the back seat more often, but like, he's always been my favorite Piston. He's the only
Yeah.
Piston I have a jersey of. I did have a Darko Milicic jersey for a while. But I've gotten rid of it. So now I only have a Joe Dumars jersey. He just consummate professional.
Yeah.
And the reason he's above Isaiah Thomas for me is because he played longer. He
sure.
played until 1999 with the Pistons, and so he overlapped Grant Hill a bit.
Yep.
He was really just he was always there as a kid, as a Piston for me, you
Yeah.
know, when I graduated from high school in 99, so it was just like synonymous with the Pistons for me,
Yep.
was Joe
Yep.
Dumars. So, he won the 1989 Finals MVP, averaging 27.3 points in that series. Remarkable since Isaiah Thomas was on his team as well.
Yeah.
He was so universally respected that the NBA named their sportsmanship award after him while he was still an active player. I did not know that. So, yeah. And then,
Yeah.
yeah, like you said, the president of basketball operations, and you know, very obviously important for assembling the going to work Pistons of the early 2000s. And so, yeah, Joe Dumars,
Yep.
love the man. So he's my
Yep.
number one.
Yeah, to me, he's Mr. Piston, right?
Yep.
I
Yeah.
mean, there's no one else that's
I
more
mean, a lot of
Detroit
people would
Pistons
say
than
Isaiah Thomas as well, but and you know, you've got the newer guys, the Ben Wallaces and the Chauncey Billups too, but
Yeah.
you know, Chauncey
They still
Billups
don't.
moved on, Ben Wallace moved on,
Yeah.
but yeah, I'd
I mean,
say
just the
one of those two
longevity
guys.
alone, you know, 14 years, like you said, just as a player, and then VP. I mean, yeah. When I think of Detroit Pistons, he's the first one that I think of too. So,
Yeah, I would say 90% of people would pick either him or Isaiah Thomas as
Sure.
as the most famous Piston of all
Yeah.
time. You know, some, you know, older people might say like Bob Lanier or something like that, or Adrian Dantley, but Adrian Dantley was
No.
only with the Pistons for a few seasons. But he
Yeah.
was a big name. Kelly Trepiuka, you know, he was kind of in the early 80s, but they weren't good then, so it didn't really matter. But yeah, that's where we are. So that's my number one.
Nice.
Detroit basketball.
What's yours?
Okay. Mine also has been said, and obviously by you, not by me.
I don't know.
I know, it's funny. I had to give you a hard time. So. And my number one, again, you can tell it is the 04 Pistons, and it was my favorite player to watch. I loved rooting for him. He was just one of my favorite players of that era, and it's big shot Chauncey Billups. Mm-hmm. Just so much fun to watch. Like, you knew if the game was on the line, he was going to come up with that clutch three-pointer. Didn't matter where he was shooting it from. You know, he could shoot it from half and he'd hit him. He was just so much fun to watch. He kind of was, I would argue, the glue to that team that kind of held them all together. You know, just seemed to be kind of the coach on the floor.
Yeah.
You know, directed players where to go around. Rip Hamilton running around in circles and him passing it to him. And just was, I don't know, he just always seemed like a really cool guy, just hardworking. You know, the best part about the 04 team was there was just no superstars. It was just guys who were on a mission to win, and it was team first. It was, you know, do whatever you had to do to win, and I think he kind of embodied that for sure. And but just, yeah, those big shots, the threes, it was just so much fun to watch. And yeah, I mean, I wish he would have been a Piston a little bit longer. I wish they would have won it in 05. They should have won it back to back, but the stupid Spurs.
So close. So close.
I know. So frustrating. But yeah, I just, Chauncey Billups is, again, I know he wasn't a Piston for 02 to 08. But, oh, and I guess he came back. I guess he technically retired from the Pistons.
Yeah, that's
true. I
guess
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, for me, when I think of the Pistons and I think of the 04 team, just Chauncey Billups was my favorite player to watch, and just loved everything he did. And yeah, finals MVP, five-time All-Star, you know, the list goes on and on. And again, I think he had somewhat higher expectations coming in, but, you know, kind of fell off. And then his career was resurrected when he came to Detroit. He's kind of like the Jared Goff, right? The pre-Jared Goff.
Of took someone else's junk. Yep.
Yep. So, he's my favorite Piston for sure. And like I said, you know, I love Joe Dumars, but I didn't watch a ton of the Pistons in the 90s. Yeah. I didn't. I watched them more in the 2000s. So that's why those guys are all on my list and high up, because that's who I watched with my buddies. 04 is when I graduated high school. So like I said, that team meant a ton to us. We watched every game together as a group of guys. And yeah, it was just, I remember watching the last game and celebrating and doing all that fun stuff. So and Chauncey was my favorite. So
nice.
Yep.
Hey, what's up, Piston fans? This is Chauncey Billups. Man, there's nothing like dropping a big three to win a big game at the Palace. I can't wait to get back to work on November 2nd. See you there.
Ooh, he's coming right. November 2nd.
I know, right? Yep.
Cool. All right, so hold on here before we move on to our honorable mentions.
Okay.
Detroit!
I thought you were going to play like somebody sent in a thing, but that's not what it was. Okay.
All right, honorable mentions.
Yep.
I have a few. Obviously, Richard Hamilton, we talked about him kind of in passing as part of that going to work Pistons team.
Yep.
He won the one ring. He was with the Pistons for 9 seasons, and he was just the master of off-ball movement.
Oh, my goodness.
Cut so much, and he was just deadly with that mid-distance jumper. He was famous for his, you know, breaking his nose and wearing that mask for so many years. After he broke his nose a couple times, and he had to wear it at a certain point, and kind of became almost a part of his uniform. So anyway, he was one of mine. Dennis Rodman, he played for the Pistons for 7 seasons. He won 2 rings, part of the Bad Boys. He probably was the Bad Boy, if you had to ask someone who the Bad Boy was. Two-time defensive player of the year, seven-time rebounding champion, and obviously famously went on to play with Michael Jordan in Chicago and was instrumental in championships they won there as well. He once slept in a team parking lot in his truck rather than going home after a game. Fun fact. Bill Laimbeer, again, two championships, four-time All-Star. He also famously coached the WNBA's Detroit Shock to three championships, proving the winner's edge ran deeper than the bully reputation. Rasheed Wallace, you talked about earlier. Tayshaun Prince, we talked about earlier. I have a Christmas tree ornament of Tayshaun Prince holding the Larry O'Brien trophy.
Nice.
It just like you said, that image of him blocking that Reggie Miller shot is, you know, probably the image from that playoff run.
Yeah.
Dave Bing, you know, like I said, he came from earlier years, Bob Lanier earlier years, Grant Hill. He should have been more. But he wasn't. You know,
sure.
He couldn't stay healthy, and he ended up leaving the Pistons. Let's see who else. That's probably about it for me. What do you got for honorable mentions?
I had Isaiah Thomas, then Cade Cunningham. Again, Cade, I think it's just, you know, he's young. He's still got time. I think he can definitely move up there. Rip Hamilton, as mentioned, or Richard Hamilton. I always called him Rip. Just because I wanted to put him on here. Darko Milicic, obviously, he's not really on my list, but I can't.
Dishonorable mention.
Yeah. Grant Hill, again, like you said, you know, just had all of this promise and never quite happened, unfortunately.
5 minutes.
And then Bill Laimbeer was the last one I had. Just to me, when I think of like the bad boys, like the bad guys, like Bill Laimbeer was that dude to me. Just
He was the most hated man in the NBA during the Bad Boys era. Like,
yep, no doubt about it.
Yep. You know, we complain about James Harden flopping and, you know, just getting.
Could you imagine that? Bill Laimbeer would murder James Harden.
Like, it's true. It's true.
Murder him. He wouldn't need to flop.
Yep. Cool.
Yep.
So that was those were our Pistons. Obviously, if anybody has any comments or omissions that you know we had, let us know from all the proper channels to do so.
I think we nailed it. I don't think anybody needs to adjust anything, right?
No notes. No notes. We got them all. Although we did not mention Vinnie Johnson, the microwave.
He was a
role player for the Pistons.
Let's be honest. The best thing about him was his nickname.
Yeah. Yeah. He came in and hit some big shots.
Oh, he did, for sure.
Yeah.
But the microwave is a pretty epic.
Pretty epic. Yeah, for sure. Okay. So that was my topic. What are we talking about next week, Caleb?
Yeah, that's a good one. Are we able to do this next week, or are you still traveling? I don't remember what your schedule
is. We'll be back. If we move back to Thursday, it'll work because I get back on Tuesday morning, so.
Okay. So I guess we already did that, didn't we? I was just thinking because you guys are going to be at Disney, we could do a Disney theme. But
we could do Disney themed.
I know, but I don't know what Disney theme it would be. I was going to say Pixar, but we already did Pixar, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. So we'll do something Disney. I'll have to think about it.
Okay.
I'll get back to you.
All right. Stay tuned.
Just along the theme of you guys being there and all that fun stuff. And we both like it and love it. So.
Yep. Yeah, I'll think of some ideas and shoot them your way if I think they're decent. But it'll be your call in the end.
Okay.
All right. Cool. Well, I think we should get out of here, Caleb. I think you should say goodbye to everybody.
Okay. All right, everybody. Again, thanks for listening. You can interact with us on Facebook or any other platform. SpeakPipe, obviously, if you want to leave a list or anything like that. I'm happy to hear from you. But otherwise, thanks for listening. Enjoy your week and safe travels to you, Jay. See you, everybody.
Detroit!
I was waiting for it.
Had to reload.
Just speak.
All right.
Have fun.
See you, buddy.
Safe travels, man.
All right, thanks.
All right.
Thanks for listening to the High Five Podcast. We'd love to hear what your high fives would be or what you thought of ours. You can find us on Facebook or email us at thehighfivepodcast@gmail.com. Or just say hi if you know us in real life. And a big thank you to our friend Trevor Durheimer for the awesome intro and outro music. See you next time!